Rip City, what is going on? We're back. We got another episode. This one's going to be a special one. We got a listener episode. Unfortunately, the four people that we had lined up has turned into so far only one showing up and a couple people not being able to make it. So for right now, it's not the listener special. It is the KJ special. Everybody, welcome KJ here. How are you doing, KJ?
I'm doing all right, guys. Thanks for having me back.
We are glad you are here because it would have just been a normal podcast if you weren't right now. So we're glad you're here. We got Fawad here as well. How are you doing, Fawad?
I'm doing good. We have an exam coming up next week, so studying for that. But other than that, like, things are going well.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like your life has been more entertaining and more fulfilling than the Blazers' life has been lately. So something we were talking about before we even went live was just how much we're all getting kind of tired of talking about the same thing over and over. But the problem is there's nothing else to talk about because nothing else is happening. Although I did see a quote today, and I didn't put this in the questions, but because it's just KJ right now, I think I'm going to ask you guys this question. So, I think he was the second round pick from Milwaukee a couple of years ago, Jabari Parker. I don't know if you guys have seen this quote yet. He's pretty much calling out the NBA, and he says, "I just want to be a part of something legitimate. I want to be a part of every game matters. Sadly, the NBA is a business, and there are 10 to 12 teams that try to win every game, and the other half try to get a draft pick. Where does that leave good players? You either have to be super good or super bad to lose games. It's no excuse to see Cousins, Dwight Howard, John Wall, guys who are potentially going into the Hall of Fame," and then it just stops there. And then said, "Seeing those guys not have a job, we are seeing the league getting watered down, unfortunately." So let me ask you guys this, just as something else to talk about besides just the Dame stuff. Do you feel like the league's getting watered down? Do you feel like what he's saying is kind of truthful? What's your thoughts on that? Let's go with KJ first.
Yeah, you're the guest.
That's a really interesting take. I hadn't thought about that. Like we had talked about around the league, it has been talked about, like the erosion of the middle class as the bigger contracts get bigger and people focus more on value contracts. But I guess the proliferation of tanking would make it harder for not your A-list players, but your maybe C, B-list, the solid bench guys on teams that aren't really looking to have a solid bench. And like, look no further than the Portland Trailblazers. There have been any number of players that we could have added to improve our roster over the last couple of years, and we didn't because improving our roster isn't really what we had in mind. And so I hadn't thought about that argument that tanking is hurting the competitiveness, not just of the bottom teams, but hollowing out talent as a whole. That's really interesting.
Yeah, when I read it, I kind of sat there and thought about it for a second, and I actually do kind of agree with them a little bit, and I think you explained it pretty well. Those middle tier players are just kind of stuck, and like, what is a team going to do? Either sacrifice another middle tier player that they already have to bring in someone different, because these bad teams aren't going to do that. Bad teams want to lose, so I kind of get it. How you feel about that, Fawad?
I agree with some of it, but I think I disagree with it a lot more than you guys. So I do agree that the teams that are tanking, yeah, they're not looking to get these vets. And I think that even like the middle tier teams, which again, there aren't a lot of, but I think the ones that are, they kind of fill out their like top eight, whatever their rotation is, maybe like nine, with good players. And then these guys like that he named, I forgot, like Boogie, all these people, they would be better than, you know, the third stringers or whatever, but the teams want to kind of simultaneously develop young guys while also having a rotation. So they fill out their rotation with, you know, current guys, and I don't think, you know, Boogie and all those people would crack that rotation if a team is fully healthy. But I think they want to use their last like four or five roster spots on young guys, and that's where they're kind of getting cut. But the thing that I disagree with a little bit more is about how something like, you know, so, like half the teams are trying to win, half are trying to get a draft pick. I think maybe a few years ago that might have been more true, but I think like at the start of the season, how many teams do you think are tanking right now? I feel like it's less than five. In the West, it might just be like one or two, like the Spurs, maybe the Rockets. I feel like at the start of the season, for the last one or two years, it's been most teams are trying, and then once you get halfway through the season and you realize you're not making the playoffs, then they kind of transition towards, okay, let's just focus on losing now. But I think, maybe like 5 years ago, it was probably closer to half and half, but now I think it's probably two-thirds or even more that are actually trying to win at the start of the season. And then because of injuries or just lack of talent, they transition towards tanking, but that's like mid-season, not at the start.
Yeah, that's the play-in effect where 5 years ago, if you were in the 10th, if you were solidly in the 10th seed, then your season was effectively over. But now that's not the case. We saw, I think, two different play-in teams get to the conference finals. And so the race for the play-in was incredibly tight in the West last year. I think there were, three games between 3rd and 10th for most of the season or something to that effect. That's a good counter argument. And of course, you just got to say that this is sour grapes. It's not that Jabari can't get a team because they don't want good players. Maybe Jabari can't get a team because not as good as he thinks he is.
I'm sure he's probably better than some players in the NBA, but I don't think there's a lot of teams looking for Jabari Parker at this point in his career.
Was Jabari Parker not the one that said that, like, teams pay me for my offense or something like that? Or, like, I don't care about defense? He straight up admitted it or something?
I believe that is the same Jabari Parker who just said defense doesn't make paychecks or something like
You're
that.
You're right. I do remember him saying that. He was the one that said, like, I'm not getting paid for my defense. I'm getting paid for my offense or something along those lines.
I just looked it up. He said they don't pay players to play defense.
That's right.
That's the quote.
Well, looks so like I don't pay players to play your offense
situation, but
yeah. I mean, I think there is some truth to it, but I also
can't believe it didn't work out for that guy. Just shocking, really.
I think wasn't he the same one that tore his ACL twice?
Yeah,
I think so. But you know, I think he was the second pick for the Bucks, right?
Yeah,
like he was an early pick.
Yeah, he was like very in the race for the number one pick too, but he went second.
Yeah, he was supposed to be the up and coming star on Giannis' team.
That's so. I can remember all that.
Funny how that works out.
Well, look at that. We managed to squeeze something in that did not have to do with Damian Lillard and the Blazers, and I'm so proud of us right now. Okay, here we go. Let's just dive in. Let's do it. Let's beat a dead horse for the 1,000th time. But we're gonna do it kind of like on the last episode. We kind of talked a little bit differently about it. So the first question I got for you, KJ, what is your favorite Dame memory? Like out of all the memories you've had, what is your favorite?
Oh God, there are so many. There are so many. Most of them are threes, of course. I remember, I think it was his rookie year, one of his very first buzzer beaters standing on the center court logo in Cleveland.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yep.
Yeah, I remember that pretty clearly. Point .9 obviously was incredible. The first LeBron game as a Laker, also known as the Nixdauskas game, that started pretty memorable with Dame and LeBron going out and trading dunks. You got to say game five against the Jazz or the Nuggets, excuse me. That was still the most incredible thing. Just one person's sheer will. I've never seen anything like it. And I think to this day, in terms of game score, that's the best playoff game anybody has ever played.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it's going to be game six against the Thunder, the 50 piece, the bad shot.
I think it was game five, but yeah.
Was it game five? I thought it was game six.
I think we won 4-1, no?
I could be wrong about that.
I don't know. Either way, but yeah, that game.
Yeah, I watched it at my buddy Josh's place, and I was actually running late. So I had to listen to the first half on the radio, and I just remember hearing wheels go off, Dame's up to 20, Dame's up to 30. Like, he was just going nuts. And I finally got there, and I got to watch the last half. We're both standing up in his apartment in front of the television. There's about five or six of us. The shot goes in. It's the 50 piece. Like, we're hugging. We're screaming. We went crazy. And then my absolute favorite thing about this, which I didn't realize until later, is if you go back, you watch the clip, and I'll find this in the Discord. One of the Blazers cameramen actually had the presence of mind to get Raymond Felton's reaction on the bench. Because in addition to that being the game that destroyed Russell Westbrook and the Thunder, got Paul George out of the Thunder, and sent the Thunder down this monumental tank they're just coming out of now, that also was Raymond Felton's last professional basketball game. So for me, that's the top moment. The 50 piece, like, that was so incredible.
You just made it. I mean, it already was one of my favorite, but you just made it so much better.
I didn't know that. I'm gonna have to look that up later.
And on top of that, you have Nurkic coming back, and, you know, the fourth quarter, like, it was just like, it was like perfect. It just, everything went the way it should have went. It was, that's. Knowing that there's a video out there of Raymond Felton on the bench and that's his last game, makes it even more sweeter.
It's just chef's kiss. Do you guys follow Beef History on YouTube?
I've seen like one or two videos, but I don't know, not regularly.
I keep trying them to get, they'll go through like different sports figures and say, like, and they'll do like a mini doc of the rivalry, like between Paul Pierce and Ray Allen, for instance, like that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I keep trying to get them to make one that's Raymond Felton versus the city of Portland. It hasn't happened yet. It hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, I think it's clear Raymond Felton is not well received. So they'll get some good views on that one. Okay. Let's, Fawad, when we did the podcast last time, did you give your memory, or were we waiting for you?
No, I think I did talk about it, but I remembered one big one that I can't believe I didn't mention last time. It's actually, I think it was the first game I saw of Dame, and like, I instantly became a fan. It was, one of his first games. It was against New Orleans in his rookie year. And then he had a game winner. I don't remember exactly what happened, but I think it was like a Batum screen and he just pulled up for it with a few seconds left. That was the first game I saw of him, and instantly I was like, this rookie just hit a game winner, and like, from like a three-pointer is crazy. So I was just like, this is my guy. Like, I like him, you know, and I was like, let me keep watching him. I kept watching him. He just got better and better. So I just, you know, grew to love him like right from the start. So that was a big milestone for me for in terms of Dame.
I do vaguely remember that one. When I think about New Orleans, the only one that really comes to my mind is the one that he did the step back on Brandon Ingram, but that's probably just because it's more recent. But I do feel like I do kind of remember that one against New Orleans.
It might have been over 80, or maybe like he was the closest defender, but not right over him. But yeah, it was against New Orleans.
I mean, that's such a weird good problem to have. There's so many game winners, I can't keep track of which one it is. Okay, let's hop into question two here, KJ. How I have a feeling I know this answer already, but I'm looking forward to hearing it. How has all this Dame drama made you feel as a Blazer fan and as a Damian Lillard fan?
So I have been disappointed in my Blazers brethren, like, over the course of the summer. Like, a lot of people are starting to turn on Dame. You see the snake stuff. You see the it's his fault stuff. And I really don't see how you can put yourself in Damian Lillard's shoes and do anything different than what he's done. Maybe some of the leaking stuff about specifically wanting to go to Miami. And I don't know if that was him, if that was his agent, if that was somebody on the Heat's end, and maybe we never will. But just for him to come out and say end of year interviews,
the exit interviews.
Yeah, the exit interviews. He's just like, yeah, I don't want to play with any 19-year-olds. I want veterans who can win. And for the draft to get not one, not two, but three different 19-year-olds, including the number three pick at his position. Like, that is as close. Am I allowed to swear on this podcast?
Go for it.
Go for it.
That is as close to a fuck you as I think anybody could have ever given their star player. Like, not only have you been asking for help, not only have you been saying you want to win a championship here 4 years, not only did you publicly say we don't want a 19-year-old on the team, but I'm going to go out and I'm going to get a 19-year-old who, by the way, can't play with you. So, like for that to happen to Dame, who is so synonymous with loyalty, that I think at the Super Bowl last year, they actually made an anime where Dame was a superhero that had loyalty-based superpowers. Like, he's been so ridiculously loyal to a franchise that, quite frankly, has done nothing to deserve it. And for them to just completely stab him in the back like they did, of course he's going to ask for a trade. Like, at that point, like, it's not really an option. It's obvious that that's what they want to do. Some people would say it's been obvious for a long time, but it became undeniable then. I'm 100% in the Lillard camp. I'm wearing my Dame jersey right now. This would be easier if he has moved on. It's been sort of a dark summer. Just us waiting, almost like in the hospital, in a waiting room, because a loved one is about to pass away. Like, that's been the pall over the Blazers franchise. Like, Damian Lillard's Blazers career is on life support, and we're just waiting for somebody to finally pull the plug. That's what it's felt like this summer. And just the fact that, A, it's gone on this long is really hard to understand. Mm-hmm. But the fandom has started to turn against a guy who did everything that could reasonably be expected of an NBA superstar, and like five more years of that. Like, I don't understand it at all. And so I've been disappointed with you, Blazer Nation. People say stuff like, we don't know Damian Lillard a thing. And that's just gross. That's disgusting.
I mean, we have definitely been pushing the narrative that what Dame has done this offseason is not, like, crazy. And it's more than, like... If anyone can see what he has done for us and then look at what we have done in the last 2 years and thought, man, I can't believe the audacity for Dame to ask out like that, just unbelievable. Like, he has said, like, I mean, this is something we've said millions of times. He has said from the get go that he wants to stay here as long as we're, you know, being competitive and, you know, dedicated to trying to win. And when you're making these picks in the draft, you're not dedicated to winning right now. You're dedicated to winning in 5-10 years. So why anyone is shocked that he wanted out at this point, why anyone is frustrated or mad that he's asking out, I get it. And I agree with you, KJ. The way the Miami stuff happened, I'm not the biggest fan of it. I'm not the biggest fan of all the, like, the tweets that he sends out or the Instagram posts that he's like hinting at things. Like, to me, I'm not a big social media person in the first place, so it's just a little annoying. But, you know, I have no problem with him asking out. And honestly, something me and Fouad have talked about in the past. I'm excited to see what the next 5-10 years hold without Dame. And not because I'm mad he's leaving or I'm over him. I just, it's something different, and it's going to be exciting to see.
And that's the thing. Like, the unbelievable thing to me about Joe Cronin is not how bad he is at building a roster. He's really bad at doing that. But it's how bad he is at controlling a fan base. Because we should be stoked. We have a generational talent, number three pick in Scoot Henderson. We have somebody who a lot of people considered was the steal of last year's draft in Shaedon Sharpe. We have two young, athletic, exciting guards, and we should all be thrilled to see them roll out the ball and start this season. Just go nuts, be young, be crazy, and be fun as hell. Like, we should be thrilled for that to happen. But right now, that neither of those guys are in our starting rotation. Right now, those are maybe bench players. Now, we're not at training camp yet. I think we have a week before training camp starts and another few weeks before the season actually starts. So that's looking to change. But if you're telling me that we start this season with Scoot Henderson on the bench, that is just catastrophic mismanagement from a fan base perspective. It's completely ridiculous.
Couldn't agree more. I mean, we've said this in the last probably three podcasts. I'm so ready for all of this to be over with and Dame just to move on. And something I just posted, I think today or yesterday, I think it was yesterday in Discord. I so hope that we trade Lillard to any other team than Miami. Not because I dislike Miami or anything, but just them thinking that, oh, he wants to come to Miami and we don't have to do anything about it. He's just going to come here eventually. If we wait long enough, it'll just happen. And not like just the joy to see them not get him. Well, it probably won't happen. I'm sure they probably will get him, but man, how sweet it would be for any other team to get him.
One quick thing. I actually slightly disagree with something KJ said. I actually think Cronin is really good at managing the fan base because he has them convinced he can do no wrong. Like, the entire fan base loves him despite all the missteps he's taken. People blame Dame for asking out rather than, you know, Cronin giving him literally no other choice. And people still think that whatever he's doing is, like, the right thing. So I think he kind of has a whole, like, sure, he's not focusing on the young guys as much, but I'm personally thrilled about the season to watch those two guys, Scoot and Shaedon. But I feel like, I don't know, that's just a minor thing.
And I wonder if part of that is because people are just tired and over of the Dame drama itself. And then also just like, kind of like a new shiny thing, like, okay, we've had Dame for 10 years. Now we got Scoot and Sharpe. Let's see what that can do now. And it's like, maybe some of them are just okay with Dame leaving and they're okay with the fact that Cronin and never really made any moves to help Dame and help the Blazers win. So, I mean, that could be essentially why some people are more blaming Dame than blaming Cronin. But I mean, I think most people probably can agree if their goal really was to win with Dame, Cronin did an absolutely horrible job. I mean,
I personally don't think that was ever the goal. As soon as
I agree, but yeah, you know, I agree.
That's a different conversation.
But that's what we were told in the public. That's what everyone was saying. We're committed to Dame, and we want to win with Dame. And so, I mean, you can only take with what they say. But when you see what they do, you clearly know that's not what they were trying to do.
Yeah, no, he's either been lying to us like blatantly for a couple of years now, or he's just incredibly incompetent.
I don't think someone can be that bad, though. Like, I think, he never intended on building a contender. That's my theory.
I agree. And as a matter of fact, I think I came on here last year before the season and told you guys exactly that.
So speaking of trades, I'm sure you guys have heard the latest rumors that Toronto is now interested. Phoenix has now come into talks with possibly getting Nurkic for Ayton. So let me ask you guys this question. Set aside Dame, Nurkic, Ayton, how you guys feel about that? I know Ayton's been kind of a hot topic, so Fawad, how do you feel about Ayton?
I think Ayton is very much overrated. If we get him, like, I literally would not care. It would just be like signing, you know, so any random free agent. Like, I wouldn't care at all. The one thing I might like about it is, you know, if we're a bad team, we might be able to inflate his numbers and then hopefully flip him at the deadline or next year. But in terms of talent, I don't really believe in him more than any other average starting center. He had a pretty good playoffs in 2021 when they went to the finals. But other than that, there's been nothing in his career that has made me think he's anything more than an average center. So, yeah, it's just...
And he's getting like $30 million a year for that. So
yeah. So
what about you, KJ?
Well, first of all, an average center would be a step up for the Blazers over what we've had in the last several years.
Do we need a step up right now? We're rebuilding.
That's my point. Like, on the one, when I hear the Blazers getting DeAndre Ayton, I'm just like, wait, are we keeping Dame and going for it? Like, that's the type of move we talked about as what would make Dame happy. But going to get DeAndre Ayton now to pair with Scoot Henderson, that doesn't make a lot of sense. He's, what, 7 years older and a hell of a lot more expensive? And so I can't even see that as something the Blazers would want to do. So that doesn't seem very likely to me. Phoenix is really, really under the gun financially. So I understand why they would be motivated to do that. Nurkic can give you most of what Ayton gives you at something like half the price. So it definitely makes sense on their perspective. Maybe there's a third team that Ayton gets routed to. But for me, if I'm Joe Cronin, I'm just looking for expiring salary and draft picks. Like, you can't really win a Damian Lillard trade. Like, you're not going to get a better player back than Damian Lillard. You're not going to get a better collection of things. But what you've gotten from the Damian Lillard trade is, A, you're going to save $200 million over the next 5 years. And B, you're going to clear up minutes for Scoot Henderson and Shaedon Sharpe. That's what we need to do here. Even if it looks like up front the trade isn't great, but you can't win this trade. You can only lose, so you might as well lose faster.
And then I also saw the Toronto Raptors, so I know for a while this hits a little close to home for you. Mm-hmm. The rumor last I saw read was that the Raptors do not want to include Scottie Barnes or Siakam, which Siakam makes sense to me because, you know, you're not going to trade Dame for Siakam. So that leaves OG, you know, the one that I wanted a long time ago, and at this point now I don't. It's over with now. So let's just say, let's go just strictly off the rumor. How would you feel with Portland trading Dame for OG and Gary Trent and some draft picks and whatever else could scrounge up?
Are we talking to me or KJ?
We'll go with you first.
Okay, so I have a couple hot takes on this one. Okay, so what the rumor is, OG and a pick and a swap, I think, right?
Essentially, it wasn't Siakam or Scottie Barnes, so it has to be OG.
Okay, I thought I explicitly saw his name, but if not, whatever. Either way, we know it's him that's going to be in the trade. Because, sure, like you said, Scottie and Siakam aren't on the table. Well, first of all, I want to preface this by, I don't see Toronto going for this. I feel like it doesn't make sense for them. They're kind of in like a, you know, a retool. I don't see them going in all in on a win now move and like limiting their window to 2 years. That doesn't make sense for me on their part. But hypothetically, if this was on the table, I am not.
Although
the
they did do that once with Kawhi.
Sure, but what were they? They were like the number two seed in the East when they did that, and they won that trade by a mile. They traded DeMar, who's like a fringe all-star, for Kawhi, who's one of the best players in the league. You know, here, I mean, I guess OG to Dame is a somewhat of a similar step up, but anyways, so for Portland, I don't like it. One, we're only getting one pick, which I don't like. And two, I think OG's overrated. He's super injury prone. His offense is weak and has been regressing for a while. And he can't create a shot for his life, which would be fine if you're on a contender, but we're not a contender. So we don't, like, he'll help our team, but we don't really have that much of a need for him. He's not as valuable to us this year as he was last year or the year before. And then on top of that, I just, you know, I think he's kind of at his ceiling. He might get a little bit better, but I don't think he'll get too much better. If we trade him, you know, at a third or fourth team where we're sending OG for a couple picks, sending OG to a contender, then that's interesting. I might be on board with that. But if we're just keeping OG, like, I would straight up rather have the Miami deal, assuming Hero gets us a couple picks.
Interesting.
Yes, a couple.
What about you, KJ?
Well, first of all, I think that if Hero could get a couple of picks, like, that would have happened back in July.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I remember hearing rumors in July that Brooklyn and maybe a couple of other teams were willing to give up at least one, maybe two.
Yeah, Hero. No, Brooklyn would make sense for somebody like Hero, a relatively young guard with some playoff experience that they're not looking to be bad for the next several years. So that would make sense.
But Simons, what was that?
Yeah, but at the same time, I feel like if we were going to make that trade, we would have already. If I'm the Blazers, a Damian Lillard trade with them starts and ends with Scottie Barnes. Like, they would need mm-hmm. to include Scottie Barnes in order for us to be interested. And I don't see that happening. In terms of getting OG back for value, I don't really see it. This is another one of the guys we wanted to pair with Dame getting traded for him.
Exactly.
But I what I could see this as a picks and cap space thing, because he's an expiring contract. If we just assume he walks and we can get back a few young assets in exchange, that's basically what I was talking about, the cap space and young assets thing. I don't know how excited Dame is about going to Toronto, and ultimately I think that might be put a kibosh on that deal. But I think that the really important part is, for a really unimportant reason, is Grady Dick. Most of the fake trades I've seen involving the Raptors would also include the Blazers bringing back Grady Dick, which I would fully endorse, assuming we get Matisse Thybulle to give up his number. I didn't watch a lot of the NCAA tournament, but watching Grady Dick wear number 4 was just an incredible delight to me. And I can't tell you how much money I would pay for a Blazers Dick 4 jersey. So I'm rooting for that trade, but not necessarily for the best reasons.
At least you're honest. Okay, last question we have here. KJ, simple. What are you looking forward to this season?
Oh, geez.
There's more than one of them? Yeah, because, like, OG.
There might be less than one of them. Well, I guess since it hasn't happened yet, I could say the Damian Lillard trade.
I think we're all looking forward to that.
I'm looking to turning the page here, finally getting this over with, and just, like, getting out of the waiting room, so we're not, like, eating hospital food for another 3 months. Because, like, there's no alternative here. We don't trade Dame and send him home, which the league has come out and said that they're going to start finding teams for. Mm-hmm. We don't trade Dame and we play him, which would be incredibly awkward. Like, not only is that bad for Damian Lillard, he might actually get booed in Moda Center. But it also means that Scoot isn't starting. Our energy isn't there, but behind him. And so that's terrible for the organization. That's terrible. And so the, we have to trade him. We have to trade him right now. And like, it pains me to think about the Portland Trailblazers without Damian Lillard. But at the same time, Joe Cronin has maneuvered us to a point where that's 100% where we have to be. And at this point, I almost don't really care what we get back.
You just kind of want it to be over with and be done and let's move on.
Yeah, what you get out of a Damian Lillard trade is you save Jody Allen $200 million and you open up minutes for Scoot and Shaden. Like that. If you can do that, you and get a couple of draft picks to save face, I'm fine. Let's move on.
On that note, this trade is looking like it's not going to happen by the start of the season. If it doesn't, I don't want Dame playing. I like bench him, keep him at home. I want to give all of his minutes to Scoot, to Sharp, to Simons from day one. Like, I don't want to waste any minutes on Dame. Like, plus, if he gets injured, his value's gone.
Mm-hmm.
But just for developmental reasons, I want to see Scoot with the ball full time.
Yeah, exactly. He needs to start game. He needs to start day one, game one, ball in his hands. They can't do that with Damian Lillard here. Like, what are we going to do? Make Dame come off the bench?
That would be pretty funny. That would be pretty funny.
Okay, here's my bold prediction. Damian Lillard, sixth man of the year. Calling it now.
I'm going to go put $1,000 on it.
That might be an actual bet out there. Okay, do we have anything else we want to talk about before we wrap it up? I'll take radio silence as a no. Okay, KJ... Oh, go for it. You got something?
No, I was just saying, I think we're done.
Oh, okay. KJ, I appreciate you being the solo listener special, KJ special tonight. I appreciate you being here.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on, guys. And just in case I don't get a chance to say this in public again, Dame, we love you. Thank you for everything.
Amen. Now let's trade him and let's move on. All right, everyone that's listening, thank you all for listening. Hopefully we can get you all back on the listener podcast when we have another one. Maybe we'll have another one here soon in case some people couldn't make it tonight. Other than that, I hope you guys have a great night. Thanks for listening. And as always, Rip City, baby.